Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to the podcast that makes you faster. We're here with another episode of the Swiss Insight podcast, and I'm talking with Jean-Paul Ballard, the CEO of Swisscide. And this time, in this episode, it's all about the mystery of cycling, or the biggest mystery of cycling. Is it really all about weight? Hey, JP, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here talking about the myth of weight.
Yeah.
Let's bust it. Let's bust this myth out. It's it's a real myth.
Myth busting today. Nice. So, let's start again right away. Aero versus weight. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about aero versus weight?
First thing that comes to my mind is we've had 20 plus years in the cycling industry where the marketing has been telling us it's all about weight. We're going to save 10 grams here and 20 grams there and 100 grams here, and this is like going to make you faster. Question is, does it? Now, I want to sort of a disclaimer up front. We are an aerodynamics expert brand at Swisscide, but it's actually not what we do. What we do is we look at performance and how to make things faster. And it comes from our approach from Formula One. Like when I was in Formula One, it wasn't about aerodynamics. It was about making the car have the lowest lap time. That is a combination of aerodynamics, of weight, of power, of braking, of stability, and all of these things. And our job is to understand the problem. In that case, the problem was flying a Formula One car, driving a Formula One car as fast as possible around different tracks. And for different tracks, there's different optimum solutions. And now our challenge is to make a cyclist go as fast as possible. So we consider aerodynamics, we consider weight, we consider power effects, we consider rolling resistance, we consider drivetrain losses, we consider all of these things. But the opening statement is that aero drag is the major resistance in cycling. Regardless of what the marketing says, aerodynamic drag uses the most power in your pedals from a speed of about 15 kilometers an hour. And so what it means is whether you're a grandma riding your shopping bike down to the shop at 15 kilometers an hour, or you're a time trialist in an Ironman doing 40 kilometers an hour, aerodynamic drag is the dominant resistance that you are fighting against. And we'll dig into it today. I can hear people thinking at the other end of this podcast, but you know, on a mountain climb on Mont Ventoux, it's not the case. Well, it is, but it isn't. And we'll dig into that today. But in the vast majority of scenarios, for example, aerodynamics is massively more important than weight. That's the fact of physics, and we're not going to change the laws of physics anytime soon.
Thanks, you too. What I know about this topic is that since I started cycling a bit more, let's say, professional, weight was the biggest topic. Every time someone saw my bike or we were talking about cycling, they were all like, okay, how much does your bike weigh? Is it below 10 kilograms? And it's like, weight is the most important thing about the whole bike for a lot of people. And so it was for me back then, because I thought like, okay, I need to get a road bike that is about like, let's say like a giant, what was it? A TCR Advanced back then that I borrowed from a friend, and it was super light. I guess it was below 8 kilograms. And I thought like, okay, this is the fastest bike I ever rode. And I rode it in the Challenge Rough for the first time with adapted aero bars. And 1 year later, I got an aero bike with 9 kilograms or something. And it came directly to my mind like, oh my God, I will be slower. And that's what people always think.
And I think the main reason is aerodynamics is really hard to measure. It's really hard to understand. Yeah. And weight is simple. You know, if I've got 100 grams in my hand and I say, oh, I saved that 100 grams, it's no longer here. It's really easy, A, to measure, and B, to say, well, less weight, going to be faster. And you will be faster. with less weight. The question is, by how much? And
yeah,
that's the topic that we're going to discuss today. How much effect does the weight have? How much time or energy or power do you save compared to even adding weight for a more aerodynamic shape? What's faster?
And that's the point, because 5 years after, I got the Cube Aerium C68, and it's about 10 kilograms.
Yeah, or it's a pretty heavy bike, but it's bloody fast.
Yeah, it's bloody fast. I got my PB with this bike, and I was like, oh my God. Because the first time I sat on it, it was like, it has more weight than any other bike that I rode before, but it gave me a PB. So, yeah.
And maybe just to open the topic, this bike, right? So this was the first complete bike development we did for Cube. And actually the predecessor to that was the, I don't know what model it was, but it was the previous time trial aerodynamics bike, and it was aerodynamically terrible. And I remember we were working with the Raylett brothers at the time, and they switched from BMC to Cube, and they couldn't understand why they were suddenly placing, you know, 10th instead of on the podium. And we put them in the wind tunnel, and we did a back to back between that bike and the previous bike, and we just saw that the new bike that they had was an absolute brick in the wind, right?
Yeah.
And we said, oh my God, there's a huge issue here. And so what we did is we did, in a first stage, we thought, how can we optimize this bike? And we printed fairings, 3D printed fairings that were sort of optimized, and we effectively created a new down tube, we created a new head tube, we created a new seat tube. And so we literally taped all of these fairings to the bike in the wind tunnel, and we saved, oh God, I can't remember what it was. It was like 20 or 30 watts. Like it was ridiculous amounts. And we said, well, there you go. That's the reason why you've been slower. And the effects were so big that Cube couldn't ignore it. And they were like, okay, well, we want the Raylets to be faster as well. So for 2015, they literally took these 3D printed fairings and put them on the bike. Like literally just put them on the bike. I can't remember exactly what they did, but I think they printed them and put just one laminate of carbon over the top of them to sort of make them integral as part of the bike. And I remember the bike became a kilo heavier just by adding these fairings. Mm-hmm. And the question was, of course, oh shit, we just made the bike a kilo heavier. What's the effect of that? And so we did the calculation, and it was like, oh, okay, the extra kilo is going to cost Andy in Kona, I think it was 25 seconds. And then we calculated the aero savings that the bike would bring, and it was over 6 minutes. So it was like, okay, you can take a 25-second penalty and then at the same time take a 6-minute advantage. Which one do you want? And it was very clear. And in that year, Andy finished second in Kona. Yep. So it was a huge thing. So as our first intro, you can add weight to a bike and make yourself faster. That's just a fact.
Crazy. What is the biggest thing about this? Can you imagine why people always think about weight?
Yeah, look, I think it was, as we mentioned before, it's just really simple. Weight is easy to understand. You can measure it. True. You can feel it. That's it. Aerodynamic drag, you can't measure it easily. You can't see it. It's difficult to feel. It's this invisible resistance that we're fighting against on the bike. So it's natural that things that people don't understand, they like to ignore. And the cycling industry has kind of ignored aerodynamics or downplayed its importance for a long time. For a really long time. Yeah. But quite simply because we didn't have the tools or the understanding or the capability. And, you know, I'm not the first sort of aerodynamicist to make the jump from Formula One to cycling, or, you know, from other aerodynamic industries into cycling, and to see that there's a huge potential here and that there's a lot of performance gains. And, you know, I'd say since 2014, 2015, you know, perhaps possibly due to the very transparent push that Swisside has been doing in this industry, aerodynamics is starting to get the visibility that it needs. And I think in triathlon, triathletes are always the early adopters. I think all triathletes now understand and appreciate that aero is king, and if they want to go faster, they need an aero setup. And I think they also understand that, yeah, although a typical triathlon bike with the storage options that it's got, with the hydration options that it's got, can easily be 9 to 10 kilos. But they also understand that on a typical triathlon course, which might only have 1,500 height meters over 180 kilometers, that is still faster than a lightweight setup. It's really interesting because we're getting a lot of questions because of the Ironman World Championships in Nice this year. Is it still? Because there's a lot more climbing. There's, you know, over 2,500 meters of climbing in that race this year. So naturally, everyone is saying, "Ooh, is it a road bike course? Is it a time trial bike course? How important is weight?" But you can be really objective about these things. We do the calculations, we do the simulations, and straight away for each particular rider, for their weight, for their power level, because it's always linked with power, we can determine what's the fastest setup. And so maybe just to close that one off in terms of Ironman World Championships in Nice this year, it will be really interesting because you will see different riders on different bikes. That's guaranteed. And the more powerful riders, you could well see on time trial bikes, on their tri bikes. The lightweight riders, you could well see on road bikes, because the tip over point between, you know, and let's be clear, the aero road bikes nowadays, like for example, a Canyon Aero is an extremely high performance aero bike. So there is a legitimate trade off there to be had. But we can dig a little bit more deeply also for the road cyclists into this topic because we've actually done a lot of work and a lot of we did a project with Global Cycling Network, GCN, where we did a whole lot of simulations for them, and then they went and actually did these races to prove what we were simulating.
Yeah. Yeah, we're putting the link to all of the outcome of this. It's called Aero Insight, Aero versus Weight, into the comments, of course. And it's pretty interesting. What would you say? Because in the past, I started at the Ironman Lanzarote, and I questioned myself. Okay, it's also 2,500 meters of height. Should I ride on a road bike? And I talked to my trainer back then, and he told me, like, no, go for your TT bike because it's always faster. Is this true that it's always faster? Or
look, almost all of the time, it's faster. I'd say 95% of the cases, you'll be faster. One big topic, if we're talking about Lanzarote, wind, sailing effect. So what people need to understand is modern day aero bikes, whether they be TT bikes, aero wheels, aero road bikes, they're sailing boats for the road. Now, the mechanism that makes a sailing boat go forwards is the wind and sailing effect. So a sailing boat produces negative drag in that it produces more thrust forwards than it produces drag to push itself through the water. Now, we don't have to push ourselves through water in cycling. We have air, and it's, say, a lot easier to push ourselves through. It's a lot less dense. Yeah. but we can still use the same sailing effect from the wind. So in a race like Lanzarote, where you've got lots of wind, you can put the sailing effect really to good use. And particularly the triathlon bikes are really optimized to maximize sailing effect. And, of course, aero wheels like our Hadron aero wheels at Swisside are sailing devices. This is one of the main reasons why the triathlon bikes are pretty much always faster, even though we're talking about 2,500 height meters of climbing. As soon as there's a bit of wind, you can even get more advantage out of the aero effects. And we'll touch on that in this sort of study that we did for GCN.
Yeah. Why are aerodynamic wheels so important? You already said, like, it's a sailing effect when it's really, really windy. But there's also people are buying wheels, I guess, from time to time, also regarding only the weight of the wheels, because they don't want to add more weight to their bike. Yeah. So,
Look, that's a really good point, actually, that you raised there. Like, why do people buy lightweight wheels? They buy lightweight wheels, A, because they've got the perception that lower weight is faster, but B, lightweight wheels, in terms of the inertia, when you sort of accelerate a lightweight set of wheels, they feel They feel really fast. They feel agile. And so in terms of your subjective experience as a cyclist, they feel fast. So on paper, they're lighter, have to be faster. Feeling, they feel faster when you accelerate. Okay, has to be faster. But the answer is they're not. And we'll get into that now. So look, wheels are really important. Like if we again focus on the physics and we say, okay, the biggest resistance you have above 15 kilometers an hour is aerodynamic drag. And if we look at a typical box section lightweight wheel, it's got spokes, it's got nipples hanging out in the air, it's a not very aerodynamic shape. You put a big blob of a tire on the front and the back of it or around the outside of it. And you end up with this sort of thing thrashing around in the air, and it's creating a lot of this invisible resistance called aerodynamic drag. And what we can do is we can add aerodynamic shapes, which do multiple things. One, they blend better with the tire. B, you can put the spokes, for example, that you shorten the length of the spokes. You put the nipples on the inside. And you can create this much more aerodynamic shape that cuts through the wind a lot more efficiently with a lot less resistance, a lot less drag, a lot less turbulence. And the effects are massive. And yes, you add weight in doing this, but you make the system a whole lot more efficient. And one actually interesting thing is when you put good aero wheels on a bike, it actually helps the bike as well. And one thing we've noticed in a lot of the testing we've done and development we've done in the wind tunnel is if you put a good set of aero wheels on a bad bike, you actually get a lot more out of it because the aero wheels condition the flow for the bike. So they make the poor tubes, down tube, for example, seat tube, for example, on the bike frame, they make those tubes generate less drag because they're creating a nicer airflow around them. So
So they're generating like a new bike because just the wheel setup, because this is the first point where the wind touches, I guess, in the front, and it's completely changed. I understand.
Conditions the downstream flow, and it's a little bit like drafting. You know, the wheel is like providing a drafting effect for the down tube. The wheel and down tube provides a drafting effect for the seat tube. Behind the seat tube, you've got a more aerodynamic shape in the wheel, so it's actually helping the seat tube. So the whole chain of these aerodynamic components working together works really well. So aero wheels actually help a bad bike frame more than they help a really good bike frame. Doesn't change the hierarchy of which wheel is better or worse. It just sort of compresses the performance differences together a little bit. And then there's the topic of sailing effect. So first of all, it's just, you know, when we're saying we're just making this system, this tire wheel system more efficient, creating less drag by itself. But then it's how can we use this as soon as we've got a little bit of crosswind? And this is this topic of sailing effect. So the same effect that pushes the sailing boat forwards, we generate with wheels. So we generate aerodynamic lift on the downside of the leeward side, the downwind side of the rim. And actually, there's a component of this aerodynamic lift which points forwards. You generate side force as well, so that's why the aero wheels feel like they push a little bit to the side, but there's a component that pushes you forwards. And as of certain crosswind angles, this component pointing forward gets so big that it actually there's more thrust than the drag that the wheel produces itself. And this is this topic which we call negative drag. So wheels can produce negative drag. It's isolated only to the front wheel. It doesn't, the rear wheel can't do it because actually it's in a little bit more messy flow at the back end of the bike. But the front wheel can actually produce quite a lot of negative drag. And our Hadron 800 in certain wind conditions can produce upwards of 15 watts of thrust forwards. So it reduces your drag by 15 watts, which is pretty insane. So yeah, wheels are really important. And of course you add weight when you make an aero wheel more aerodynamic compared to a standard lightweight wheel. But you make it faster overall. And in order to demonstrate this, we had a we were approached by Global Cycling Network, GCN, to run some simulations for them. They then went and repeated. And I recommend anyone who really wants to dig into the details of these simulations and the details of this study to click the link that's below this podcast, and you can read all about it. And there's also a video that was filmed by GCN on this topic. So go and check all of that out. But what we did is GCN asked us to do a study of three different scenarios. Scenario one was a climbing case, just a pure uphill climb. And for that, we choose the Sacalabra climb in Mallorca, which is basically a 7.5% climb over 10 kilometers. The next case was a typical time trial course. So it was a 40-kilometer course. I still think it had 500 height meters, so it wasn't completely flat. And then
500? It's nice. It's really not flat,
And then there was a criterium race. So one of these courses where you go round and round and round and round circles, constantly accelerating, braking, accelerating, braking. So what did we want to do with these three scenarios? So we wanted to test the weight versus aero on wheels, not just considering the weight, say the static weight, but also the inertia effects, these dynamic effects. And everyone's sort of like saying, the inertia of a wheel is really important. And it's definitely what you feel. So when you accelerate a bike, a lightweight set of wheels, you accelerate faster and you feel this, right? But how important is it? And so this was part of this whole topic. And a little spoiler, it's completely negligible. And actually, sometimes heavier wheels help you. But we'll dig into that
again
a little bit. we'll dig into that a little bit later. But if we, again, you know, everyone listening, take a look at the analysis. But, you know, let's say in the pure climbing case. So what we did is we took the lightest set of wheels we could find on the market. And that were the lightweight Milestein wheels, 1,165 grams. We did aero testing with these wheels. For the sake of fairness, what we did is we applied the same tire to the same tire characteristics to both wheels so that there wasn't some unfair effect, because a little fun fact, and we'll get to this later, the tire is really important for wheel aerodynamics. But so we took this lightweight Milestein, 1,165 grams for the set. And then we took our Hadron Ultimate 625, which is a 62.5 millimeter deep rim profile, which is around 1,600 grams for the wheel set. So, you know, we're talking 450 to 500 grams difference here. And so, you know, a significant amount. And then we said, okay, let's take this climbing case, the TT case, the criterium case, and let's simulate what is faster. So we got some pretty cool simulation tools at Swisside that we use for world tour teams, we use for triathletes, for determining best setups, pacing strategies, and so on. And it's extremely accurate. So, you know, we've done a lot of work with Team Ineos for 5-6 years since they were Team Sky. And nowadays we can simulate to within, a second on a 40 millimeter time trial for a particular rider. So it's a fairly accurate tool, let's say. And so, you know, we did a bunch of sims. And so on the climbing case, you know, so we've got this 450 gram lighter, lightweight Milestein wheel set. We've got 9.5 kilometer, 7% climb up Sacalabra. And so we ran the sim, and we also did the physical test with GCN to see what's faster. And you're climbing for about 50 minutes. This is a decent rider pushing around, I think from memory, about 280 watts. Then we sort of calculated what was faster. So over that 50 minutes, with no wind condition, the lightweight wheel was faster by 8 seconds.
Okay.
So eight seconds. over 50 minutes, right? And just pure uphill. But as soon as we added wind into the equation, so then we redid simulations with 5 kilometers an hour wind, with 10 kilometers an hour wind coming from various directions. And on average, for example, with a 10 kilometer an hour wind, the Hadron wheels were significantly faster again. So straight away, you add a wind into the equation, and the heavier wheel, becomes faster on a pure climb. So that was quite interesting. Look, the TT case I think is pretty obvious. You know, the Hadron Aero wheels were 30 seconds faster. It was 40 minutes this time trial, 30 seconds faster in windstill conditions, and 1 minute 40 seconds faster as soon as there was 10 kilometers an hour wind. So, you know, 1 minute 40 on a time trial, if you look at the...
It's a lot.
even 30 seconds, you know, if you look at in Tour de France, in Giro d'Italia, these time trials, you know, the top riders are within a second or two of each other. So, you know, add 30 seconds into the mix and you're talking...
You can jump off the bike and grab a beer.
Exactly, yeah. And then maybe what's really interesting for some people is this criterium case. So, you know, this running around in circles, accelerating, braking all the time for the corners. So it was a 40-kilometer criterium, lots of braking acceleration phases in every lap. It was about an hour, this race. And we discovered that despite the, you know, 450-odd gram heavier Hadron 65 wheel set, was 17 seconds faster. And then again, as soon as you add wind, top exhaling effect, 1 minute 20 faster on this course. And if people say, okay, well, you know, they're interested in this concept of inertia, this rotating weight, you know, how much did that affect? And so the cool thing is with the simulations we do, we can break down the individual components. We can look at the static weight effect. We can look at the dynamic, the inertia effects. We can look at the aero effects all independently. And then, of course, some together, which is what plays out in the real world. And on this criterion, which is the worst case for, say, accelerating and braking, where you're losing the energy that you put into the wheel, the inertia effects of the 450-gram heavier Hadron Ultimate was 0.7 seconds. So the lightweight wheel was 0.7 seconds faster from the isolated inertia side of things, yet they were the Hadrons were 17 seconds faster. So the aero wheels were 17 seconds faster due to the aero effect. So yeah, you're talking, you know, huge orders of magnitude difference. And I think just a final closing topic in my little monologue about weight and aero is this topic of inertia. You don't lose the energy that you put into a wheel. You only lose it when you hit the brakes. There the energy is lost. But otherwise, when you put energy into the wheel, it's like a flywheel. This energy is not lost. So there are actually really strong arguments, for example, for lighter weight riders to have heavier wheels on rolling courses because it helps them carry their speed.
Because it helps them, yeah.
Yeah, over these sort of rolling things. You invest energy to spin up these wheels. It's actually very small, the difference. And so, for example, for Paris-Roubaix, you know, we're looking at, you know, what's the effect of actually riding a heavier wheel if you hit these cobble sections? Does it actually help you, you know, go faster? Because of all of this resistance, or is it slower because of the vertical displacement of this mass? You know, there are all of these things we can look at, but in a nutshell, from these sort of climbing case, TT case, criterium case, we can see in all of the cases that the aero effects, especially as soon as there's a little bit of wind, and there's almost always a little bit of wind about, you're pretty much always faster with a set of aero wheels. Maybe as a last caveat to that, you know, we see in the Grand Tours, like in Tour de France, they're putting in these crazy mountain arrival stages. Where like the last kilometer or last 500 meters is like 20% plus. Now, of course, in those cases, weight is going to be more important than aerodynamics. And it's quite possible that if that's a strategic, you know, if you think your rider and your competitor are going to come into the last 500 meters together, then you do have to focus on weight. So it's not always about aero, but that's for that particular scenario. But in most scenarios, even though when you're riding in the mountains, you ride up a climb, you might be a little bit slower because of the weight. But as soon as you ride down the other side and as soon as you go on the flats, you're going to be faster. So, aero versus weight.
Myth busted. Yeah. What I was asking myself was in case of stability, for a race like Paris-Roubaix, it's also, I guess, the case or that if you are riding the lightest wheels, they can break away or on the cobblestones.
And look, and we've seen it every year, the wheels just folding and collapsing. So yeah, you do need a stronger wheel. And by definition, you add aero profile, if it's a structural aero profile like our wheels, you're just adding strength and stiffness into the wheel. So it very much does help you in terms of that sense as well. But you raised a good word there, stability. Now, stability, we can talk about structural stability like we just have now. Also, there's the question of aero stability. And like this is an important one. And this is what I'd say differentiates good aero wheels from bad aero wheels. Mm-hmm. We do a ridiculous amount of development on the aero wheel designs of our products. And we make them to have the minimum drag, but also to have the most balanced aero stability as possible. And what do we mean by that? And it's particularly to do with the front wheel. So the front half of the wheel, say in the front, as far away upstream from the bike as possible, produces the most load. So the bike will always tend to sort of, the wheels will always tend to steer downwind due to the sailing effect. And you really need to manage this effect. And poorly developed wheels will be really twitchy in the wind. Mm-hmm. As the wind grows and the wheel loads up with pressure, they can become really unstable, unpredictable to ride. So it's
dangerous,
not just
also.
And it's dangerous. Yeah. So it's not just about. So when we talk about aero wheels, there's a huge amount of effort that goes into not only reducing the aerodynamic drag, reducing the resistance, but also to make them aerodynamically stable in the wind, predictable, and regardless of the wind changing, even cars passing, the way they push and pull on you, to make all of these effects as damped and as predictable as possible. And that's what makes a really good aero wheel like Swisside's aero wheels stand out against our competitors.
Wow. It's really, really, really not all about weight.
Very much not so. Very much not so.
Very much not so. We busted this myth in the past 30 minutes. And maybe we can close with another aero tip regarding this topic, if you have one for our listeners.
I'd say the aero tip from this is really clear. A great set of wheels is a great investment. Like we mentioned in the previous talk, full disclaimer, it's not your first point of call. Your first point of call should be minimizing the drag on you, the human, on your body. So a suit or doing some yoga to get into a more aero position. But one of the best upgrades you can make is a good set of aero wheels after that. They're a great investment in terms of performance and efficiency. I mean, you're talking about 8 watts gain easily at 35 kilometers an hour, double that at 45 kilometers an hour if you're a faster rider. And if there's wind around, this topic sailing effect, you can have massive gains. And then you can be talking upwards of 20 watts of savings on a good set of aero wheels. And let's face it, they look awesome. They're fun to ride. Yep. And don't forget the tires. I mentioned that before.
True.
Tires are super important for aero wheels. Good set of tires currently, Schwalbe Pro 1 TT, Continental GP 5000 STR. They work well aerodynamically. What doesn't work well is anything slick, so without any sidewall tread. Like the Vittorias, for example, the Vittoria Corsa Speeds, really low rolling resistance tire, so fine for the rear wheel, but terrible for the front wheel. Don't put on your front wheel. So the aerodynamics are really important for the front wheel when we're talking about tires, not for the rear wheel. So there's a fun fact, an important tip. For those of you who read the cycling press and browse patents every now and again, you may have seen that there's something new coming in the world of aerodynamic tires somewhere soon to a shop near you. So keep your eye out on that, and then we'll enhance our aero wheels even more.
Nice. Full stop. Cool. Thank you for these pretty cool insights into aero versus weight. And yeah, also thank you very much to all the listeners out there. If you have any comments or any questions about this episode, just write us on our social media channels, and we are looking forward to be there again pretty soon.
Yeah,
thanks a lot, JP.
Yeah, thank you. And also a call out to anyone listening. You know, we want to hear what you think. You know, so we work around physics, we work around numbers, we want to quantify performance. But if you've got a different opinion and you say, hey, JP, you've missed something here. Daniel, you've missed something here. This is why weight is important to me, or this is why aero is not important to me. Put your comments. Let us know. We want to hear it. We want to hear what's important for you and what your opinion is on this topic. So we are always open, accessible, happy to be challenged. That's what we're all about. And that's the way we produce the best product. So we want your input. Please let us know. And happy to be challenged and happy to answer your questions.